You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro 103.5 FM. Freedom of expression is essential to a free society. And you were just listening to a little bit of Pixie by George Winston. Welcome to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the speakeasy to invite you all in to find a seat and get comfortable in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the very best. Hi, Claudio.
Good morning.
What's up with you this week?
I know we both had a tough time cutting off Cat Stevens there, but...
I know. I wanted to hear the whole thing.
The time just rolled around.
Yes.
So good morning, Carrboro, Chapel Hill. Anyone else tuning us in? I want to say that we have the prominent, in my estimation, reviewer and theater critic, Alan R. Hall, in the studio with us today. Say good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
So they can hear your voice. There we go. I'm still having a hard time hearing myself in my own headset, but
well, you're
I can
coming
fix
up
that
clear
later.
Over here, I think.
Good. That's good enough. Anyway, we're going to go into Alan's life in just a moment, but I thought I might start the morning with something ponderous. That questions those, or at least makes us more aware of the fact that we're getting older.
Oh, that's very ponderous.
But before I go there, speaking of getting older, place that's been around forever, actually since the 20s, that's the Carolina Theatre of Durham, the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, sponsor, underwriter of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theatre here on WCOM, 103.5 FM. Big shout out to you. They've got all kinds of things coming up, a little slow this time of year, but just keep checking their website and... give your support to a place that really brings in some amazing talents.
They've got... Is David Sanborn still coming up, or has he already come and
gone? I think he's still coming up.
He's still on the
don't have the dates in front of me right now.
Okay. Saw something about him coming.
The website will reveal all.
Right. And the website is... Did you just say it? I wasn't listening.
No, I didn't. I was going to leave that to you, actually.
Okay. www.carolinatheater.org. And that's theater spelt... with a T-R-E instead of T-E-R.
T-H-E-A-T-R-E instead of
right.
E-R, exactly.
Right.
And that's the word on that. And now, speaking of getting older, my friend, also from the Carolina Theatre, Betty Rhodes, who is the community outreach coordinator for the Carolina Theatre, occasionally sends me some things that are really worth mentioning on the radio. And this one kind of got to me here. So I'm gonna put us through some breathtaking moments of what it is to get older. Yes, this comes from the Beloit College Mindset List for the class of 2014. That's what this is intended for. I think it makes some wonderful points. Most students entering college for the first time this fall, the class of 2014, were born in 1992. For these students, Benny Hill, Sam Kinison, Sam Walton, Bert Parks, and Tony Perkins have always been dead.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a marvelous thought? And you folks can feel free to chip in. That's the folks in the studio.
A cousin of mine said, Audrey, we're running out of people.
I don't know about that. Look outside.
We really are.
Yes. The people we know anyway.
Yeah,
the
right.
Real people.
That's true. Few in the class know how to write in cursive. Email is just too slow, and they seldom, if ever, use snail mail. Go west, young college grad, has always implied... and don't stop until you get to Asia and learn Chinese along the way. Al Gore has always been animated. Los Angelinos have always been trying to get along. Caramel macchiato, good lord, that's tough to pronounce, and venti half-calf vanilla latte have always been street corner lingo. Not in the streets I grew up on.
Now we really know if you're feeling like you're getting to the point you don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly. Streets I grew up on, they'd call you a sissy for even mentioning that.
If you don't
that.
Know your coffees, then you are out of luck.
You're out
That's
of
right.
it.
The new bohemia is coffee. With increasing numbers of ramps, braille signs, and handicapped parking spaces, the world has always been trying harder to accommodate people with disabilities.
Wow.
Yeah, what little do they know.
The battles that went on to make those things happen in the past.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, that is something that never really becomes part of the backbone of the new generation sweeping in, realizing just how much it costs to bring some of these things about.
Mm-hmm.
Had it remained operational, the villainous computer hell of 2001, Space Odyssey, could be their college classmate this fall, but they have a better chance of running into Miley Cyrus's folks on Parents Weekend. Now, I'm a bit lost on that one.
Miley Cyrus is the young daughter of
Billy Ray Cyrus, the country singer.
And she is best known for her character of Hannah Montana.
Okay, got you there. A quarter of the class has at least one immigrant parent, and the immigration debate is not a big priority unless it involves real aliens from another planet. I'm getting more and more anxious to actually meet them.
I wish they would just stop hovering around, actually, yes, and come and knock on the door, and I'd say, come on in, have a cup of coffee.
A few of us want to get out of here. Come on, we need a ride.
Right.
We need
a ride. I want to talk, you know.
John, I like this one. John McEnroe has never played professional tennis. Boy. Clint Eastwood is better known as a sensitive director than as Dirty Harry. I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Probably started with Bridges of Madison County.
Probably.
Parents and teachers feared that Beavis and Butthead might be the voice of a lost generation.
That's sad.
Yeah. Dr. Kevorkian has never been licensed to practice medicine.
Uh-huh.
Colorful lapel ribbons have always been worn to indicate support for a cause. Interesting. Korean cars have always been a staple on American highways.
Korean cars,
yeah. Trading Chocolate the Moose for Patty the Platypus helped build their Beanie Baby collection.
Boy. Say what?
Right. I'm not saying that again.
Good.
Fergie is a pop singer, not a princess. They never twisted the coiled handset wire aimlessly around their wrists while chatting on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
DNA fingerprinting and maps of the human genome have always existed. Woody Allen, whose heart has always wanted what it wanted, has always been with Soon Yi Previn. No Mia Farrow in that picture.
Right.
Cross-burning has always been deemed protected speech.
Oof. Wow.
Youch.
Yeah.
Just right.
Leasing has always allowed the folks to upgrade their tastes in cars. Cop Killer by rapper Ice-T has never been available on a recording. Leno and Letterman have always been trading insults on opposing networks. Unless they found one in their grandparents' closet, they have never seen a carousel of Kodachrome slides. Now, that one does make me feel old because I've got thousands.
Makes me feel older because I've never seen one.
Oh, no. Computers have never lacked a CD-ROM disk drive. They've never recognized that pointing to their wrists was a request for the time of day.
That's a good one.
The first computer they probably touched was an Apple II. It is now in a museum. Czechoslovakia has never existed. Secondhand smoke has always been an official carcinogen.
That's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
Assisted living has always been replacing nursing homes, while hospice has always been an alternative to hospitals. Mm-hmm, okay. Once they got through security, going to the airport has always resembled going to the mall. Boy, has that changed. Bud Selig has always been the commissioner of Major League Baseball. There have always been HIV-positive athletes in the Olympics. American companies have always done business in Vietnam. Russians and Americans have always been living together in space. The dominance of television news by the three networks passed while they were still in their cribs. They have always had a chance to do community service with local and federal programs to earn money for college. Children have always been trying to divorce their parents. Someone has always gotten married in space. I'm a little lost on that one. While they were babbling...
Did somebody get married in space?
Who got married in space?
Who got married in space? I
can understand somebody spaced got married, but I'm not sure about married in space.
Oh, we're getting older by the minute, Alan.
I think it was Cheech and Chong finally got married. While they were babbling in strollers, there was already a female poet laureate of the United States. Toothpaste tubes have always stood up on their caps. Food has always been irradiated. There have always been women priests in the Anglican Church.
Yep.
J.R. Ewing has always been dead and gone, hasn't he?
Heaven for that.
Rock bands have always played at presidential inaugural parties. That one does slip in between the cracks. They may have assumed that parents' complaints about Black Monday had to do with punk rockers from L.A., not Wall Street. A purple dinosaur has always supplanted Barney Google and Barney Fife. Beethoven has always been a dog.
Right.
Right. Having hundreds of cable channels but nothing to watch has always been routine. They first met Michelangelo when he was just a computer virus.
Oh, dear. God.
There go the arts. Boom.
Yes.
They have never worried about a Russian missile strike on the U.S. The post office has always been going broke. The artist formerly known as Snoop Doggy Dog has always been rapping. The nation has never approved of the job Congress is doing. I'll read that one again because I agree. The nation has never approved of the job Congress is doing. An entire generation born into that view. It's pretty amazing. One way or another, it's the economy, stupid, and always has been. So there, food
so
for thought.
These are all the signs that we're growing older.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Doesn't say anything about, you know, knees cracking. Or
and Rip Van Winkle is sitting here at the microphone.
Uh-huh. Which one of us is Rim?
Well, Claudio's the kid today.
That's it. And I get to pick on the old man, Alan R. Hall, over here.
The old man.
So, Alan, what's up? I enjoyed your company very recently when we went to see Tell Me on a Sunday at Progress Energy Entertainment Center, or to be precise, the Kennedy...
The Kennedy Opera Theater.
Opera Theater, thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Complete with upper-level boxes.
Exactly.
So that you may watch the opera as... an elite would from the, well, from above.
All right.
Yes. With your and, subjects below.
And this, of course, was an Andrew Lloyd Webber work mm-hmm. that we thoroughly enjoyed.
Absolutely.
They did an excellent job of it. It was a one-woman show.
I absolutely understand the meaning of poetic license now.
Yes.
Who was the one woman?
It was the daughter of the Kennedys. Who opened uh-huh. the theater, Lauren Kennedy.
That's right.
She is a Broadway actress and singer, but she also happens to be the daughter of the two people who gave Progress Energy the Kennedy Theater.
Uh-huh.
And she produces Hot Nights at the Sun, at the Hot Summer Nights at the Kennedy every summer. She and her husband. But this was the first chance I'd had to get to see her perform since many, many years ago when I saw her perform in the musical Chess.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is also an Andrew Lloyd.
Actually, no.
No?
No. Chess is...
don't know why I was thinking that.
Written by, I want to say Frenchman, but I'm not...
Ah, okay.
I really don't know that for sure.
My bad. I started something he can't finish.
It's not an Andrew Lloyd Webber, although okay. it was very much of the time.
All right, that's probably why I've got it confused.
You're forgiven.
But thank you.
Yes.
I need this a lot.
We'll forgive you this time.
Yes. Don't let it happen again.
So tell us what's been going on with you, Alan. I know you're working on a novel, among other things. You're still reviewing. You used to be with the Chapel Hill News out of
right.
Chapel Hill.
I spent 10 years with the Chapel Hill News and... went from being a minor and with a small M critic and correspondent.
So you criticized minors?
Yes.
I see.
I always have. but moved through the ranks and up to a point where the only stories on the arts that were going into the actual newspaper had my byline on them.
Ah.
And this was, of course, when we were still a five-day-a-week paper,
mm-hmm.
six-day-a-week paper, I mean to say. Sunday was in there as well.
What is it now, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a two-day-a-week paper.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Wednesday and Sundays.
And
that's another thing that the class of 2014...
That's
didn't
right.
know.
We'll remember.
We'll never, the class of 2014 will know the Chapel Hill newspaper as a twice weekly and never as a 6 day, as a daily newspaper.
So you were...
Sorry, I'm interrupting here momentarily. There we go. I just had to fix something technical.
So having been there for 10 years, I decided it was time to go off and do a little something else. And I decided to go online and write for a group called ThemeStream.
Ah, okay.
You may or may not remember ThemeStream.
You might want to explain
it. It died
that.
In 2001, but it was a loosely knit group of folks who wanted to get as many writers as possible onto the network.
Ah, I see.
And I decided to do that for a while. I did a column and a review for them for a couple of years, and then when they went by the wayside, I decided to just start my own column and put it on the web called Front Row Center, and we did that for about 7 years.
I remember that quite well.
And then I was asked out of the blue, wonderful opportunity to write for the Classical Voice of North Carolina, which anyone can get to by cvnc.org. And they are now expanding. The man who has been doing this as a hobby, John Lambert, mm-hmm. has finally decided that it's time to quit his day job and go for the gold and commit full time to doing the Classical Voice.
Oh, wonderful.
Which is a great step forward, I think, for him and for the book.
How widespread is the Classical Voice?
Well, it's statewide. It covers the state of North Carolina, but it covers both theater and music, and especially classical music. And there are reviewers from one end of the state to the other, and they have a wide variety of music covered, and it's just a wonderful site, and I really appreciate writing for them.
And you've been doing that for how long now?
6 years.
Six?
Mm-hmm.
I seem to remember when you first told me about him. Didn't realize I've known you longer than that.
Oh, yes.
Actually, I first had the pleasure of meeting you when you reviewed My Seafarers at Thompson Theater,
mm-hmm.
a Tony Lee production at the time.
Back when we were in Chapel Hill News.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we do go back a long way at this point.
So with CVNC, it's classical music.
Classical Voice of North Carolina.
Classical Voice of North Carolina. And do they, I'm assuming they would or would not include opera.
Oh, yes.
They do. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes, indeed.
Uh-huh. I am a huge fan of Italian opera. I'm not extremely knowledgeable about it, but.
I had a lady friend who unfortunately has since passed from cancer, but she had an encyclopedic knowledge of opera,
mm-hmm.
and could tell me book, line, what aria, who might have sung it.
My word.
When it was performed, she knew everything about opera, and she was a source for anyone who wanted to know more about opera. Mm-hmm. She was also a lady who loved to talk, and she could talk your ear off about opera.
What was really her name? Good.
Her name was Alison Chambers.
Okay. That name actually sounds vaguely familiar.
It does.
And she was, she lived in Durham. She worked at the winery at, now I've forgotten the name of it.
Hmm. Also a sign of getting older, folks. All of us.
I don't know. I always had a bad memory, so I've got no excuse.
I have what I refer to as a mad cursor running around in my brain.
Yes.
Oh, no.
And it will. This is a rogue cursor, and it will go to the point through the fact that I need to retrieve and sit on it so that I can't find it.
This explains the constant indentations in the forehead while he speaks.
I like that.
I don't know if it's appropriate to ask, but is there anything like possible one of your favorite reviews that you've done or anything that stands out in that aspect of your life as many reviews as you've done, I would imagine that something might jump out.
I did thoroughly enjoy and get a lot of comments from the review that I wrote on a theater piece that was done in Thompson Theater and over at Raleigh that had John McElwee, who is the director of Thompson Theater.
Both Thompson and Stewart.
He starred in it, and also Ira David Wood starred in it, and this was Death Takes a Holiday.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one.
Ira David Wood played Death, and this was just a wonderful production. I had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
I could see those two cutting up.
Oh, John McElwee. John McElwee and Ira David Wood have been upstaging each other on stage for years.
Oh, yeah, they're just... You get them in the same room, it's going to get naughty. That's just the way it works. And they are such fun characters to be around, too. McElwee, especially, has this sort of... This total dry wit, Monty Python-type sense of humor. And loves to just sort of go get away with as much as he can. I met him when I was brought into Threepenny Opera by Ira David Wood. I was the arresting constable of Mac the Knife. And John was one of the... was one of the heads of the head of the gang in that scenario. And just working with him was extraordinary. He's got a great sense of humor. Plus, he's an amazing costumier.
He is. He's got a wardrobe closet for the theater that is just immense.
Yeah.
And absolutely gorgeous and true to life.
It's a passion of his to create costumes, and I don't know that there's anybody better. He's amazing. He's got an amazing talent for it.
And Thompson Theater, I am an alumnus of Thompson Theater in point of fact.
Ah.
I spent two years at North Carolina State University when I was one of these young, fresh faces, and worked with Thompson Theater for two years. So,
did you create any of your own shows for that, or did you... Involved in productions that were put on?
I was just involved in productions at the time, but enjoyed every minute of it. And it's always nostalgic for me to go back to Thompson Theater and see shows, because it's like going back and watching yourself treading the boards, as it were.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places. So that's how Tony Lee fished you up, because he told me that he had a reviewer I had to meet when he brought you in for Seafarers.
Is there something that you, not a particular review, but is there a genre of thing that you like the least to review?
Good question. Now you've really put him on the spot.
Yes, he's frowning.
No, I don't think so.
It's that cursor thing.
I don't think so.
Well, good.
There's always the amount of work that you have to realize has gone into a production, but regardless of how obscure or even obsolete the production may be, the people in the Triangle who work in theater take it very seriously and are very, very strongly for making sure that the arts stay alive in
very
the Triangle.
True, very true.
And no matter what I go see, there's always something that's worth talking about.
And it would almost seem, at least I would imagine, in being in the reviewer's position, that subjects you have less of a predilection for might give you a greater curiosity to go and explore, just to see what new angle could come out of this.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Just, that's just something I would imagine if I were in those shoes.
Even if it's something for which I have found absolutely no redeeming value, I did find a show like that once, and it generated more press from the people that put the show on than anything I had ever written, because it was a complete pan. And that's the only one I've ever written.
Wow. Because that was going to be my next question. What do you do when you can't stand what they've done?
So you write in the abstract.
There is always something that you can say that's nice. And because there's always something about the show that says, we believe what we're doing, we're working hard to get it done, and we hope you enjoy it.
That's true.
With this one glaring exception.
Wonder what happened there.
Interesting.
Now, one of the things I want to mention before we continue on with Alan's interview here is that on the Tuesday that qualifies for Halloween on this show, I think it's the Tuesday before Halloween, right, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to be having Alan Hall back, as well as Ira David Wood III, as well as Audrey here, and myself to do a collection of horror stories I've written. I haven't quite picked who's doing what yet, but that's coming up. So
that's
I'm looking forward
fun.
To it.
You know, we should actually, instead of, like, I'll still take pictures, but that sounds like something that we should
I can
put
bring
on
my
a,
camcorder.
On a video camera.
Yeah,
right.
I think I will.
That would be fantastic.
And we can also use this to sort of launch the idea that you just approached all the DJs about making, creating more
doing
of
a radio theater.
A radio theater.
Right.
So we can use this as a bit of a launch pin if you'd like. So
absolutely.
An idea.
And I'd be more than happy to do that because when I was in college, my forte, the road that I decided to go down, was interpretive literature.
Ah, wonderful.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So you would be interested if we got something going
on
the radio theater?
Oh, I surely would.
Oh,
absolutely.
Good.
Got your name
well,
down.
Yes, but his name was on my pad a long time ago. I remember sending him one of my, I think, did I mail it to you? No, I think I gave it to you to take with you when I just finished writing Knives of Wind. And I don't think I've ever had a response quite like the one I got from Alan. I wanted somebody that I knew would be very cut and dry with me after writing that story. And I remember your response was that I stuck so close to my theme that you actually got nauseous while reading the story.
I did. It was a gut-wrencher, to be sure.
Called Knives of Wind, and I won't subject Alan to reading that. That's the one I'm going to read.
A poor protagonist who just suffers greatly. Mm-hmm. I won't say more.
Yes, it's a story that goes into the throes and also the public view on witchcraft.
Okay.
And I
color
the picture
either.
Very darkly.
Right.
Which
it's going to be a good show.
I'm looking forward to doing it. I've got a pick on Ira David Wood for one of my stories. I've got one or two in mind, depending on how the time flies while we're doing
right.
it. But so I'm mentioning Ira David Wood III as many times as possible. So you know when I finally ring his bell, he'll remember the commitment he made. He's got so many things going that it helps to remind him.
Uh-huh. He's going to be in the throes of rehearsals for
Christmas Carol shortly, and he's opening at DPAC again, I think, this year.
Mm-hmm. But he will be knee-deep in it.
No doubt, and that's one of the reasons I'm tossing this up. Scrooge is a role you're familiar with, Ira, so, you know, spare the time. I always liked when I had him on, we were talking about his daughter, Evan Rachel Wood, who is the new teen idol, I guess, in Hollywood, although she must be growing out of those teens by now. I remember bouncing her on my knee as Uncle Claudio years ago when I used to drop in on him. But we were talking about him meeting the fellow she's going out with. I can't remember his name now. He's a bit of a rock idol, Marilyn Manson. And one of the funniest moments on the show was where he said he went to California to meet this guy. And he said he was really kind of like a southern gentleman, just to know him off the stage. So he asked Evan Rachel, you know, what he should call him. He was going to address him by his real name, which I don't know what that is right now. And he said, no. And Evan responded, no, Dad, just call him Marilyn Manson. That's what he goes by. And Ira says, well, then he can call me Scrooge, because I've been Scrooge longer than he's been Marilyn Manson.
Excellent. Come back.
That was perfect.
Okay, Papa, whatever you say.
Scrooged again. There we go. So let's go back to your life. You're writing a novel. You've been working on it since
I've been
I've
working
known you,
on
actually,
a novel for, in fact, the interesting part about this story is that I started writing at the computer, and I would work during in my hours of insomnia. I would work between 1 and 5 in the morning. And
you wake up between 1 and 5 in the morning? How do you do that?
No, I was insomniac. I couldn't sleep.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
So I kept working at the computer trying to keep myself busy, because when you're an insomniac, you can't do anything. You got to do, if you don't do something, you climb the walls.
I agree.
So I started writing this novel, and I sat down and I started writing it, and I wrote it in about 3 weeks. I wrote the first 19 chapters.
My goodness.
And then I hit an absolute stone wall. And I knew what I wanted. I knew where it was going. I knew what was going to happen, how it was going to end. But I couldn't get from where I was to the point that I could finish. And I've been writing it in my head ever since.
I know that feeling. Is there a working title or a title for this?
It's called The Naked Queen.
Aha.
And it's an Arthurian legend.
I'm imagining this naked queen. Go ahead.
Down, Claudio, down.
Yes, there are a good many of them who imagine this naked queen. But it has to do with Arthurian knights and round tables and...
So dare one say it's mystical to some degree?
Only to a degree, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Only to a degree. There is strange shenanigans going on, but it's not so much witchcraft or spell casting or any of that sort. There's no sorcery involved.
So don't expect a cross between Beowulf and Harry Potter.
No, absolutely okay. Not.
Of course, what I'm immediately thinking of is Mists of Avalon.
Mists of Avalon, that's...
Which is a fantastic book that takes place
about good witches.
It's
not really witchcraft.
The Naked Queen comes anywhere close to the Mists of Avalon, then I will be pleased as punch.
Yes. That was a beautiful piece of work.
Yeah.
And so at this point, it lies in wait.
It lies in wait.
The queen,
yes.
The naked queen, lies in wait.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
This would bother me if I were you.
No, the interesting thing about it is that given the first 10 chapters have to do with the arrival of the queen at the castle. And the wedding to the king and everything that goes on in the first 30 days that she's at the castle.
Now, knowing you, I would imagine you go into some historic detail in all this.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. But
and this is a story that's being told to Arthur?
Right. It's being told to Arthur by the adoptive son of the queen, who... At the end of the queen's life, and the queen and the king pass simultaneously, the man is so racked with questions about the life of the queen that he does not acquire the throne and instead leaves Tabithia, which is the name of the... Now I've forgotten the name of the country. Yeah, it's good. That's good, Alan.
Or the realm.
The realm, yes. Tabithia, yes. He leaves Tabithia and starts to travel because he wants to find out if anyone can tell him what the life of this queen means, because she was... You know, in his eyes, just so far above anyone else that he's ever known. And he continues to travel until he comes to the lake in England.
What are we talking about? The famous lake?
The famous lake. The Lady of the Lake. And he actually speaks to the Lady of the Lake, who directs him to the castle
where he tells the rest of the story, so to speak.
Where he tells the story to King Arthur.
Interesting.
So,
totally new angle on the Arthurian legend.
Yeah.
So he sits in the king's parlor and tells him the story, and it takes the course of the day. He meets him very early in the morning, and King Arthur becomes intrigued by this story and wants to know it all. So they go and they sit down and they talk for the course of the day, and finally at the end, when Arthur can no more answer the questions that the man has than anybody else that he's spoken to, he says, "Well, the lady of the lake told me that if you were unable to answer my questions, that I should ask to see the mage." And Arthur goes, "Merlin? Well, of course. Why didn't I think of that?"
Uh-huh. So, I've got to read this book. I would say, hurry up and finish it.
This one, once you're ready, of course, we'll have you back on the speakeasy, but it seems to me that Carborough Bookbeat's going to be a natural place for this.
Yes.
If I can get pen to paper and finish the last six chapters, then
there's
six chapters.
Oh my
to go.
Goodness!
Should we call him once a week and say, "Have you been writing?"
Yes. Well, I think we've ruffled a few feathers or leaves at this point. We'll see what inspiration does as far as taking it the rest of the way.
Will this be your first novel? Or
my first novel.
Your first novel. Have you written things like short stories?
Short stories, poetry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Have you have a chapbook out, or do you have any other kind of...
I do have one chapbook. I'm not sure I could lay hands on a copy.
Uh-huh. How long ago was that?
There.
When did you do that?
What's it called?
Floating to NYC.
Hmm. Okay. And this is a collection of poetry or stories?
Poetry.
Poetry, all right.
NYC being
New York City.
Uh-huh.
Find the copy.
Was this in the hippie era?
I'm a New Yorker.
Floating. Back to Cheech and Chong again, aren't we?
Actually, what it is that the first poem in the book is Floating.
Ah, okay.
And the last poem in the book is New York City.
Ah, all right.
So it's Floating to NYC.
A progression
Neat.
Of works.
Neat.
I got you.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So we've got to peg him for Carborough Bookbeat.
That's absolutely.
Audrey's show.
So we just and to encourage you to finish the book, because it sounds like something I would be delighted to read.
Well, he's promised me a good read too a long time ago. Even
right.
the manuscript form.
I did promise
him.
And only six chapters to go.
That he could read that he would be able to read the manuscript once I was able to finish the Dadburn thing.
Right. Now you've
Has
moved
your insomnia
into a
disappeared. Excuse me.
No,
it has, at least to a degree. Yes.
See, that's
well,
that's
a good
the
sign.
Issue. Mm-hmm. It's a good sign that the insomnia has disappeared, but maybe that's hung the book up.
We need it back. Oh no.
We don't want it. We don't.
No, we don't need him.
Give the man insomnia. He'll finish his.
Yes.
We
right.
don't need him climbing the walls with a pen.
Anyway, excuse me.
At some point. No. I was actually going to mention something that the two of you have in common. Alan and his wife have just acquired a new home, and you're in the process of taking your situation a step further. So, Audrey, why don't you tell me where the ball is bouncing with you?
I actually have chosen the person to put my road in. I have a driveway.
A key step.
500-foot right-of-way between two other properties to get to my property. And in the past, I had actually, made a path there and put a tent up, this was 20 years ago or whatever. But and this person will also do the septic system, and I now have an address.
Wonderful.
Because you have to get your 911 address before you can get a permit for anything.
And he's going to put in a well and all that good.
Right, he'll put in the septic and do the footing for the house. This is all being done on a minimal amount of money. So I'm in the process just now of talking with builders who can put me up something legal that I
have. You designed the home? Have you
I've
pen
got
to paper?
Yes, I have done a number of designs over the years, and I'm pulling that into my approach now to builders is how much square footage can you give me under a roof for X number of dollars? The internal or the interior finishing, I've got people, I've got kids in the area, you know, for putting up cabinets and installing sinks and painting walls and hanging sheetrock, et cetera, but I need somebody who's going to, you know, lay the foundation, put the walls up, put the roof on. I have an electrician in mind. I have possible plumbers in mind.
And, of course, you're keeping a blog so that the public can see
yes.
how it can be done economically.
I'm working on that. I started the blog about several weeks ago, actually over a month now.
I think so,
time has gone by, and I haven't put anything more on it than the first two sets of pictures and stuff. But, yes, I'm going to be writing a blog and maybe even turn it into a book and pay for building an in-ground pool or something.
Perfect.
Wouldn't that be nice? Or putting
it
in a pond.
Nice.
Yes.
That would be nice. I'm remembering that my wife and I had to have a road put in to our house.
Mm-hmm. And that was my other point, that Alan has just acquired a new home. So.
Right.
And this particular road was actually in Chatham County on mm-hmm. Rocky River.
Well, you know, we're not too far away then. I'm not on Rocky River, but if you go south of, 4 miles south of Pittsburgh, and hang a right in off, about 2.5 miles in off 15501, and that's where my
Yes, that's
five
not
acres
far
is.
From where we are
right.
at all,
Great.
On Woody Dam Road.
Uh-huh, I'm on Guinness Creek.
I went out with him one time to see the place, and he's got horses. It's
Whoa.
A beautiful place.
Fantastic. How
we have two different, we're talking about two different locations.
I was wondering about that.
We have land on Rocky River.
Okay.
And we have a home.
I thought it was a lot further away.
Up in Granville County.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So when we had to, we were thinking about building a house on our Chatham property, mm-hmm. and we had to get a road put in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that you do not have the difficulties that we had when we were putting this road in.
Uh-huh.
This is a man who would come in and I told him what I wanted. I had him walk the property with me to make sure that he knew the layout and where it was supposed to go. And he came in and just did it his way.
Mm-hmm.
Tore down the trees that I wanted him to keep.
Oh, no.
Made the road 20 feet wide with ditches on each side when what I wanted was a driveway, which was 12 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And
just
then,
did not do what you wanted.
And then to add insult to injury, I said, when he was finished, I said, okay, where's my gravel? And he said, oh, gravel's extra.
Not good.
Not good.
Right.
Not good. No, this was not a good thing. We mm-hmm. we were decidedly unhappy with the way this mm-hmm. was done, and so unhappy, in fact, that we decided that we may not build down there at all. That we may just buy someplace else.
Well, tell us about the new home.
Well, the new home is just a gorgeous thing. It's 3 bedrooms and 3 baths on 20 acres in the north side of Granville County, 3 miles from the Virginia border.
Whoa, uh-huh.
And it is absolutely gorgeous. It was outfitted by the original builder with a pool and a hot tub
mm-hmm.
and a two-car garage.
A little closer to the mic there, please. There we go.
So we have this gorgeous structure that we had. The only thing we had to do is we had to have all the doors widened
mm-hmm.
because Mary's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, if you don't have 3-foot doors, then she doesn't get from room
right.
to room.
Right.
So that's been taken care of.
The house was already built.
Okay. Yeah, when we bought it. And
quite
we got
a beautiful
it
place,
for
yeah.
an absolute steal.
How nice.
Yes.
Absolute steal. And
on 20 acres, that's fantastic.
The horses are happy and the birds fly. We have a crane.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That comes to the lake, so to the pond.
It's like a whole little game reserve.
Oh, this is not a pond, actually. It's a watering hole for the horses.
Uh-huh, okay.
But you can't tell that to the crane.
Okay.
The crane thinks it's a pond.
Okay.
Oh, he's probably getting plenty of frogs out of it.
Oh, he is indeed.
All right.
He is indeed, yes. And tree frogs. You would not believe the tree frogs. The tree frogs are almost deafening.
Really?
Actually, I love that sound. It's that way at my place, too.
Yeah.
And I've got a pond that's got 50, the one I built myself, that's got at least 50 species of frogs in it.
Well, the people who are putting in my road and my septic will also put in a pond once I'm ready. Good. And I definitely want to put one in, but now it's like every dime I've got is going to go into square footage.
Have you decided whether it will be a rained pond or a fed pond? Do you have a creek?
I have a creek. Well, I hit a creek at one very small point. But when I first purchased the property and walked around it, there's a dry weather creek that runs. It's really like a drainage thing. Maybe it is, would make a rain pond. A fed pond, you're saying, is something that would come up from an underground
natural spring.
Well, just have some sort of source of water than just simple rainfall.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that. There is a site, possibly. And when the gentleman was walking around, he actually went in and walked all over various parts of the property and said he saw, you could put a pond here and you could put a pond there.
Mine is definitely rainfall, but it works. It works.
Yeah.
Considering we may not be getting that much rainfall these days.
Yeah.
Then it's buckets of water. Claudia, fill the pond.
Yes.
And that's where I make up a few new songs while I'm walking the water down to the pond.
Hey ho, buckets of water.
Yes. Some new spirituals coming out. So how far are you from that being complete, Alan?
We are going to paint in the next couple of weeks, and then we should start moving furniture in. So.
Wow, okay. So coming up very shortly.
Hopefully.
Well, let me know when the housewarming is. I'll come do some cooking or bring some cooking or do something.
That sounds terrific.
See if we can't get Audrey out of Carborough. Take her out that way.
I'm legendary in the fact that I don't drive anywhere.
She never leaves town.
Unless I'm going to hit the highway and go to another state or something.
What she hasn't told us is she's probably under Carborough arrest and just won't reveal the secret.
I'm not sure Carborough has Carborough arrest.
No.
No telling.
Anyway.
So we've got what's up in the future as far as reviews go?
We have got a play I'm seeing tonight. Tonight I'm seeing a play called The Wiz, the black version of The Wizard of Oz.
All right, where's that?
And that's being done as an outdoor show at the Sword of Peace Summer Celebration over in Snow Camp.
Ah, okay.
And then for next month, we've got Shakespeare coming up. We've got As You Like It at Playmakers.
All right, yeah.
Also, a hysterically funny, very funny show called The Complete Works of Shakespeare Abridged.
Oh, boy.
Which will be done by Theater in the Park.
And done as a comedy sketch or what?
As a comedy sketch, absolutely, like as fun. A comedy sketch. And then from there, who knows?
Yeah. Who decides on these venues to go to? Is it something you pick or is it something they decide for you?
The Classical Voice of North Carolina limits us to seeing shows by people who have actually sent us materials.
I see.
And what they do is they post the previews and then we go in and see what's there and decide what it is we want to review and let John know exactly what plays we want to see when, and he takes it from there. So
And how many people are doing this for the Classical Voice of North Carolina? Do you know?
I'd say there's at least 25 people involved in reviewing,
and that covers the
music
whole
music and theater.
Right.
And give us that information again so people can know where to go find it.
That's the Classical Voice of North Carolina. You can find it on the web at cvnc.org. And it's a great resource.
No
it's
doubt.
It's a wonderful
yeah.
resource.
I've got it on my files.
Have you ever thought of publishing a collection of your reviews?
No.
People that? You never thought of it? you don't look like you're going to think about it either.
Don't get me started. I think that's a great idea.
Because I do have the collection.
Uh-huh.
I've tried to keep as much reviews as I possibly can. But
I imagine
I've never really considered it.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually often thought about suggesting you do that. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Because your language, for one thing, is so beautifully descriptive. Me sitting there with him, I never realized just how much of the detail of everything he's observing until I read the review. And it's amazing how well he encompasses the entire subject matter.
Well, in a lot of ways. Like it
so my compliments, sir.
Thank you.
It could be a review of theater over the past X number of years.
Triangle Theater.
Yeah.
Could be
absolutely.
Done as a history, yeah.
That's very true. But you've got to finish the Naked Queen first.
You've got to finish the novel.
There's a Naked Queen lying in wait for you, dear sir.
Don't remind me.
Yes. And don't tell Mary.
Oh, Mary knows. Believe me, Mary knows.
And I hope you can finish it without becoming an insomniac again.
So do I.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Maybe the new house will offer you something on the inspiration level.
That would be nice. That
yeah.
would be nice.
Be a nice way to bless the new environment.
A new quiet little retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To
God
write
knows,
in.
You've got so many rooms in that place. I think you can find one.
Go off and wander around in the woods.
No, we've
think
already
about
we've already figured where everything is going to go. We've got the bedroom downstairs and the office upstairs and the spare room and you know, everything's just going to be
all right.
You've got three levels, two levels and then an attic, right?
Two levels and an attic, yes. And it's a
sounds
it's,
great.
It's big.
My nook would probably be up in the attic if I were him. A little A-frame room with a writer's table to do things from the turret.
Have me write in cursive.
Right.
Cursive, right.
Yes, that thing this generation no longer remembers.
I have one of the things that sustains me as I do all my writing and so forth is a job that is done in Durham, North Carolina, through Measurement Incorporated. And it is reading the written parts of standardized tests.
Ah.
And I learned years ago that the students coming up did not know cursive. They all write in capital letters.
What, shorthand?
Not in script, in print. They print in capital letters, big letters for the first, for capitals, and then a small line of capital letters. And that's the way they write.
Interesting. Hmm.
They have not learned cursive.
I can't imagine not being in that meditative state of where you put pen to paper and creating a work. It's just, to me, I can't see writing, creating something on a typewriter, but that's because I've always written by hand.
Well, this is, they're printing.
They're printing.
By hand.
Yes, they're printing.
By hand.
Absolutely.
Exactly. But that's, he's talking about tests. I imagine most people these days that have anything to do with writing do it on typewriter or on
a
computer.
Typewriter?
Computer.
What are you talking about?
That's what my computer is, a glorified typewriter. You kidding?
I remember when there were word processors.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I think it's time for us to make room for the next show coming in with John Paul. So I want to say you've been listening to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, WCOM 103.5 FM, just to get the plug-in for WCOM, with the prominent theater critic and reviewer, my friend Alan R. Hall, as well as my lovely co-host, Audrey Layden, who also has Carborough BookBeat. And this is your host, Claudio, signing off. Until next week, folks, thank you for tuning us in. Cheers.